All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. I need to flip my paper out of the way so I can see the line if it lights up. I know I should have had that done before, but I didn't. Anyway, I want to read this to you just very, very briefly. It comes from a clinical study by Hiroshi Ishii. Where do you think that name comes from? Well, it comes from Japan. Hiroshi Ishii, PhD, is from the Nippon Medical School in Tokyo, as in Japan. And this is what they discovered. And this is just a starting point for today. The researchers showed that being easily brought to tears is associated with a better immune response, and your neuroendocrine systems work better. Now, it doesn't say this, but I would venture that if someone doesn't cry easily or doesn't ever tear, I'm just curious if maybe they have worse immune responses or they have more illnesses than those that can tear. So what they did was they tested this with people that had rheumatoid arthritis, which I know that you know that a rheumatoid is one of those diabolical autoimmune diseases where the immune system has this inappropriate response to the joints. And if you haven't ever seen somebody with rheumatoid arthritis, I bet you have, you know full well that it can destroy the joints. You can have fingers that normally were straight and that were beautiful, and they can be completely twisted, pushed over sideways, bent, contorted, where a person just basically loses the function of their hand. I still remember as a kid, Lloyd, who had rheumatoid arthritis. Yes, his hands were distorted. You know, they just ravaged by arthritis. Oh, but he could grip my hand so hard. Oh, my word, I don't think I could stand a chance against him. Even when I was a teenager, I didn't stand a chance against Lloyd's grip. He was powerful. Of course, I'm thinking to myself, he was probably a dairy farmer. He'd probably avoid the machines and just milk the cows by hand. So, would you believe me if I told you it's actually a protective mechanism for your eyes to water? Yeah, it is. If I told you that this last, I'm going to say week and a half, I've had more people tell me that they're having allergies. And I can tell you on the list, probably number one is going to be they're just exhausted and fatigued and sleepy and don't know why. Well, that's an allergic reaction, most likely. If you feel like you have this low-grade headache or this dull pain behind your eyes, if you're a little bit more stuffy and nasally, and you can't breathe and you're wondering if you have a sinus infection, well, that just might be nothing more than just an allergy or an allergic response. Well, one of the things that happens with an allergic response is your immune system can release cytokines, it can release leukotrienes, bradykinins. These are just all chemicals that your body releases in response to it thinking it's injured. Have you ever heard of histamine before? I mean, if you look in the store, there's like light doses of Benadryl, there's heavier doses of Benadryl, there's nighttime doses of Benadryl, but these are all antihistamines. Well, one of the things that we notice is that your body requires an element or a mineral called zinc. And zinc actually plays a very, very interesting role. So I want to give you a consideration this morning. What would happen if you have the right amount of zinc in your tissues and within your immune system so it can respond appropriately? On the flip side of the coin, what happens when you don't have enough zinc to stabilize your immune system? Well, you might find out that your immune system either underreacts or overreacts. Now, the idea of an allergy, I'm not going to go into deep scientific discussion. I just don't think that's appropriate for a radio program like this, but any type of inappropriate reaction that you have within your body, we'll call that an allergy. So if your body overreacts or underreacts, it's still the immune system. So I came across this article And it's just real simple and to the point. And I like stuff like that. I like to oversimplify everything. It helps me keep my mind organized about how to help people. And what they did was, when trace mineral status was measured in 28 children, and get this, it was from 10 months of age all the way up to 10 years of age. You got to admit that a 10-month-old, they don't have a fully developed immune system yet. I would imagine the 10-year-old would have a distinct advantage over the 10-month-old, unless, of course, the 10-month-old is still being nursed or breastfed by mama, because that certainly gives tremendous protective qualities. So what they did was they took 28 children, 10 months of age, all the way up to 10 years of age, who were very susceptible to infections, and they had two choices. Either these kids were more prone to upper respiratory tract, or just, you know, respiratory tract infections, lung infections. And that can be everywhere from, if it were me, I would say nose, paranasal sinuses, throat, bronchial tree, lungs. We'll just call them upper respiratory tract infections. Or they were prone to middle ear infections, which the technical name is otitis media, in case you see a diagnosis on your insurance form. But they didn't have these kids, these 28 children that were prone to getting either ear infections or lung infections. They didn't have any major immunological defects that they could find through lab testing or other studies. They just were prone to getting sick. So here's what they did. They happened to find 13 healthy kids, and it doesn't say what their age is, but I'm assuming it's between 10 months of age and 10 years of age. And they decided, okay, let's see if we can figure this out. And what do you say we just check them for their zinc levels? Have you ever heard of zinc before? Zinc is a trace mineral. If you want to call it a metal, I'm fine with that also. If you want to call it an element, good with me. And they said, let's check these 13 healthy kids and let's find out what their zinc levels are. And so they got a reading and they said, well, we don't find anything to talk about. Zinc levels are perfectly fine. Then they went back and they checked the 28 children that were prone to ear infections or upper respiratory tract infections. They just couldn't shake them. Guess what they found? They had very low levels of zinc. Now, is that just a fluke? Is that a coincidence? No, that's precision. See, zinc plays a very powerful role in directing your immune system. And so if I go back to what I just mentioned briefly and earlier, who out there wants to have red, itchy, watery eyes? I don't. Who wants to be sneezing their head off? Not me. Does anybody want to have a continual headache from pollen in the air? Not I. I walked outside about 3 days ago. Our dog has a bark that if there's a fox outside, she has a certain type of bark. You can tell, though, she does not like raccoons and she doesn't like possums because her barks are more aggressive. She has a very specific bark for copperheads and snakes in the backyard. So I can pretty much tell if there's a bad guy outside, or if it's an animal that she doesn't like, or if it's just she's barking at the coyotes out in the pasture. Either way, you can just kind of tell. But this was her fox bark. So I took my flashlight, my $17 Duracell flashlight that has a powerful beam, and I was looking for the fox. Now, I could hear it running through the woods across the street, but I couldn't see it. And I think the fox is so smart, he's decided he's not going to look toward the light where I can shine his eyes or get the reflection of his eyes. But when I went outside, it looked like somebody had a flower sifter up in the trees and was just shaking flour because all this fine dust was just thick in the air. Now, wouldn't you call that pollen? Okay. We're going back to zinc for a second. In this zinc study, they've noticed there's a very particular type of white blood cell called a macrophage. And guess what a macrophage does? It helps you respond to infections. It helps you respond to allergies. I mean, in a perfect world, your macrophages, you would have plenty of them, not too many, not too little, and they would all be high-functioning, stable immune cells to serve you very, very well. But they need zinc to do that. So you're going to figure out real quick What are we going to see when you have a lack of the very elements you need? Well, there's going to be a lot of stuff in the body that just goes undone. And I don't know why it is. Well, no, I do know, but I won't be negative. But these are never serious considerations in certain professions when it comes to improving one's health, that they might actually have a zinc deficiency, and the zinc deficiency would lead to poor healing. And all I'm just trying to suggest to you is, if you take the very thing that you're lacking, well, guess what? You can expect your body to serve you well and to function better. And it might end up being fewer sicknesses like ear infections or upper respiratory tract infections. Or if you just really enjoy getting sick all the time, I guess that's your business. I don't really know anybody like that, but I'm sure there's a couple of people, that's how they get their attention, and then they really enjoy being sick, so that gives them something to talk about. That would not be a very good identity, if you ask me, to only have sickness and ill health to talk about. Because when you're radiant, oh, that's when you can do whatever you want. You can actually work on your life's purpose. You can fulfill your God-given, you know, duties to serve your fellow man and others. All right. I found a study that showed that when macrophages that are in zinc deficient animals, this is a type of white blood cell that protects you, these macrophages normally, they go after viruses, they go after bacteria, they can eat mold on the spot. Talk about candida. Yeah, a macrophage can do that. Even cancer cells. But when they're low in zinc, they can't really kill the bad germs in the body. So here's what they found out. They took the macrophages out, or the blood, these white blood cells out of these animals that were prone to getting sick, and they put them in a lab environment. And guess what they did? If they gave zinc to the solution that the macrophages were in, within 30 minutes, it completely restored normal function. And I kind of thought to myself, well, maybe this explains why, you know what zinc lozenges cost? I think the last time I went to the store and I bought a roll of them, which I do every so often, I just think they're kind of good to have around. But maybe $1.15 for a roll of zinc lozenges? You're probably thinking, well, I'd prefer a roll of Rolos. Okay. Or Lifesavers. Okay. But there's not much in a Lifesaver that can restore the function of your immune system or help you in a crisis. I can guarantee you that sugar will make every allergy worse. The number one predictor of an infection that never goes away is sugar consumption. Oh, I just saw a little boy this week. This infection on his skin is just clearing up beautifully, but it's in direct correlation to avoiding sugar. So way to go, Mom and Dad. Have you ever heard of somebody maybe feeling like they're coming down with a bug of some kind, maybe a sore throat or an upper respiratory tract infection or a cold or the flu, and they start sucking on zinc lozenges? And they just swear up and down it's the very best thing of all time to stop the cold in its tracks. Yeah, I think I like that very much. So, here's one point that I had today, and it's not a panacea. If you're prone to allergies or severe colds this time of year, maybe you would consider that maybe zinc is something that you're lacking. Now, I know that you need zinc for your night vision, so if you tell me you have a hard time driving at night and in the darkness you just can't see where to flip, then maybe you should consider zinc. It's pretty common with the zinc deficiency that people just crave sweets. They just can't seem to get enough of them. That's what they want. Now, I realize that can be a kind of a complex topic. I don't want to be that way, but just consider zinc. I know for a fact zinc can be overdosed. But I doubt you will. I really do. I've seen a couple people, but that's over 27 years. And it's just as simple as maybe we should cut back on the 400 milligrams of zinc a day. That might be a little bit much. But usually when you stay within maybe 30 to 50 milligrams a day, you're really not going to see a problem at all. So here's the potential this morning. What could your body do if it had the right amount of zinc? Could your immune system function better? The answer is yes. Could you have fewer allergies? Well, yes, because without zinc, your immune system is just a little bit more prone to overreacting in ways that it shouldn't overreact. Does that make sense? As a side note, somebody that gets chronic viral infections, yeah, I think zinc. You know, one thing that can just really stress out the adrenal glands is that small triangular-shaped gland or pyramid-shaped gland that sits right on top of your kidneys. It is a fabulous gland. Fabulous. As a general rule, your immune system is going to completely follow what the adrenal glands do, so when your immune system is constantly overreacting, you think, well, maybe the adrenals are overreacting. We need to just calm them down where they're not so hyper-reactive. Last time I checked, the adrenal glands, they like zinc too. Maybe that's one of the things that's missing from what you're doing, so just consider that. Now, I want to switch gears just for a second here, and I'm going to go through this just real fast because of time. But if somebody decides to call me right now, I am making the choice. I'll take your phone call and make it much more important than what I'm sharing with you on the air, because it's always funner talking to real-life human beings. And let me just say this. The number of the radio station here is 903-586-5257. This program is called Health Essentials. I'm your host, as always, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's very good to be here. But it's really fun trying to improve people. And I realize you may not get a lot of that, because quite often, one view of medicine is we wait and we respond once the body's very sick. And we're looking for diseases. So almost all the lab tests and blood tests and x-rays and CAT scans, MRIs, biopsies, they're all looking for disease. And that's very valuable. But where in your thinking do we want to wait for a disease to become fully, full-blown, established? You don't want to wait for a tumor to become the size of a small piano before you do something about it, do you? No. That's why we want to improve your health now. So let's try to discover which systems within your body might be weakened or stressed. I think I told you on the radio a couple weeks back that I was reading in a textbook the Latin word immunis. Well, in Latin, the word immunis means to untax or to unburden. Oh, I like that idea. Now, there's a concept that I can buy into and think about and chew on. How would you like your immune system? And by the way, we get the word immune or immune system from the word immunis, from the Latin. So do you like the idea of being untaxed and unburdened? Yeah. So these kids that have chronic ear infections and upper respiratory tract infections from 10 months of age to 10 years of age, do you think they would like to be untaxed and unburdened? Well, of course. You know, human beings are just going to encounter viruses. And all this stuff floating around the air right now, some of the pollen is just going to be carrier of a cold virus or a flu virus or mold. Very, very common, especially if you know for a fact your symptoms get worse when you drive down a country road and someone's just cut hay. That's mold. Or if somebody cuts the grass and you just really go bonkers, that's mold. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
We're doing great. I apologize for not getting into you last week.
You don't have anything to apologize to me for. It's fine.
Well, I was on vacation, and I forgot that. I'm calling about, I have a young man in my Sunday school group who has asthma. Mm-hmm. And his family, I guess, doesn't treat him as medically maybe as much as I think he should be. You know, he doesn't have an inhaler with him and things like that. And so when he's with me, we had a bad episode of him, he throws up. And a lot of phlegm comes up. And is there anything that lozenger or anything like that that I could, I have essential oils I could, you know, mist in the air when he's in my Sunday school class and anything like that?
Yeah.
To help him out.
I'm going to give you several tidbits of information, but I'm not trying to say they're specific to him, but let me have a go at this. We know from a recent study from the year 2010 that one out of six black children born today that's born through C-section is going to suffer horribly with asthma for the rest of their life. And the only point that I'm getting to is when the child comes through the normal birth canal, through normal birth and normal delivery and normal labor, the baby is completely coated with all the beneficial bacteria from mama's reproductive tract, and that's the basis for good immune function. I don't even know that I can overstate. I don't think I can go overboard on that point. If we have good beneficial bacteria coating every square inch of our skin and our lungs, then we're not going to have asthma. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, number two, when kids come out through C-section, what they're exposed to, well, it's two things. They're not exposed to the good microbes from mama's reproductive tract, which is normal. That's God's plan. They're exposed to things like Staphylococcus and Streptococcus, which we know those forms of bacteria, they're world famous for causing skin infections and for boils and strep throat and rheumatic fever and just a plethora of just different problems. And so that's one of the mysteries that has to be solved when it comes to asthma. If we want the asthma to disappear and go away, we've got to overcome the bad toxic microbes with good microbes. And so some of the, for example, let's just say that you have the essential oil of thyme, or you have oregano or rosemary, or you have thieves or clove or something like that. Well, we know for a fact those essential oils, they have antimicrobial properties. It's like a natural antibiotic. There may be a benefit because it's helping assist the body in killing some of the germs. But what we really need is we need enough good beneficial probiotics or beneficial microbes to overcome the bad. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about a concerted effort to weed out the bad toxic microbes. Now, I'm going to go on a tangent just for a second. The number one predictor of chronic inflammation in the body, and maybe the definition of inflammation is a repair deficit. So any human being that has continual symptoms that never go away, that means tissues are breaking down or being damaged at a faster rate than what your body can repair or heal. So if I go back to the Latin root word immunis, which means to untax or unburden, what can we do to untax him? What can we do to unburden him? So if you reduce the amount of refined sugar, that's an instant untaxing and unburdening of the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Instant. Did you know that the human body requires magnesium to be able to process food properly? You can't break down food properly without magnesium. And let me think for a second. Which mineral is usually deficient in asthmatics? Let me think. Oh, that's right. It just came to me. It's magnesium. So it may be that with magnesium, we can actually cause a deeper, greater relaxation of the diaphragm. See, the last time I checked, I think pretty much the diaphragm uses more oxygen or has a higher oxygen need than any other tissue in the body. Maybe the brain would be a close number two, but magnesium just magically increases oxygen delivery to all the tissues. So the kid may have a magnesium deficiency, and you can't correct that with an essential oil.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't correct that by avoiding perfume. Although, you and I would both agree that if he's around somebody that's wearing heavy, heavy perfume, that's going to trigger a bad response, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Or, is avoiding cigarette smoke important when you're having an asthmatic attack? Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't correct the magnesium deficiency. So each thing has its place. But I think there's two or three ways that you can ask the question. You could say, does the kid just have weak lungs, and what do we do to strengthen him? Or are his lungs just being abused and overcome by heavy doses of perfume that his mother's wearing? I'm just saying that as a hypothetical example. I don't know mm-hmm. if his mom wears perfume at all. Although, okay. I have smelled perfume before that I wanted to run from. It smells so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You have too, right?
Yes.
And so the other thing that I look at when I'm trying to unburden the immune system, and you can take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt, but he's got a food allergy. He's having very inappropriate responses to foods, and I can tell you the ones that I think of. Usually it's dairy products. Not always, but usually dairy mm-hmm. products are what I find more often than not. So if we could find a way to reduce refined sugar, excellent. Now, apples don't count. That's natural sugar. And
mm-hmm.
eating an apple a day has been shown to improve lung function. I'm not so sure that the lungs aren't one of the most interesting, sophisticated organ systems that God has created in the human body. I mean, the more that I study the lungs, I'm just flabbergasted by what they do. Now, I won't go into all the philosophy of that because it's just a little bit too much for today. But if we can discover what his food allergy is, then we can remove that and his body can be free. Now, my interpretation is I want to turn off all those allergic reactions within his body where he doesn't react anymore. But it may mean for a short season, I don't know, 3 weeks, 10 days, 3 months in some people because they're just too weak. It may take that of just complete avoidance to let his immune system reset and stop producing so many antibodies and toxic compounds in response to them. So it may be part of that. But with asthma, oh, come on, you've got to strengthen the digestive tract. That's the key right there. Repair the gut and you repair the lungs. If you don't repair the gut, yep, you'll need to be on inhalers the rest of your life and every other drug that there is. But we've got to turn off the reactivity. So the other thing that I think of, I see a lot of mold issues with asthma. Lots of mold. And so sometimes we're trying to turn off all the reactivity to mold. So you've got a bunch of stuff to think about. You've got to think about the role of vitamin C. We know for a fact that's helpful. All the mucus-lined lung membranes, well, they require vitamin A. That's where things like avocados and sweet potatoes come in handy. And don't tell me you don't like sweet potatoes. So all these things are doable, and of course there's a plethora of different herbs you can take. I can tell you what used to be recommended before it was kind of outlawed by the Food and Drug Administration. Almost everyone for asthma would use Ma Wong. It's like it's ephedra.
Oh, yes.
You ever heard? You ever heard of speed?
Mm-hmm.
But what you have is you have in the, you know, there are some human beings that would never abuse anything, and there's some that would take the Ma Wong and they would use it like speed and make, you know, toxic compounds to sell to other people on the street. We don't need to go into that. But it's been abused so much, but it when it comes to an asthmatic attack, it can be very beneficial. Just like when some people have asthma, they could drink a cup of coffee and it could vasodilate and open up the bronchial tree. So I'm trying to reduce the allergies that are manifested within the lungs. I'm trying to reduce the inflammation within the lungs. Have you ever heard of mucus-forming foods?
Yes.
Probably chocolate milk, cheesecake, donuts with heavy sugar on them. Yeah, I'm going to call those mucus formers. You want to clog the lungs up? That might be a good way to do it. But the opposite of that would be foods that tend to break down mucus within the lungs. And that could be everything from fenugreek to lemon juice every day. I think if my beautiful wife served me a lemonade, I would not refuse her. In case she's listening right now. I saw those lemons on the counter. Anyway. But you want to help assist the body. So there's lots of ways of doing this. I'm just kind of giving you like just a thumb, you know, just scratching the surface. What else do you really want to know?
That's great if I was his parent, but I'm not. So I can present these things to his parents, but I was just thinking of stuff I could have on hand for him. A lozenger, like you were saying, zinc. His coughing was so bad last night, he asked for a lozenger, and I was like, I have gum. I don't have a lozenger. You know, so things like that I could keep on hand that...
Would you believe me if I told you that out of all the emergency techniques that have been discovered to help an asthmatic, that doing the Heimlich maneuver is very, very appropriate at clearing all the airways of all the mucus and phlegm. So I'm not saying do that, but...
Right.
You know, instead of greeting someone with a holy kiss, you could greet him with a Heimlich maneuver. He won't even know what hit him.
Well, I did do kind of like pneumonia pounding on his back.
Oh,
you beat gentle.
No. I was going to beat you the punch. I'm going to say just whack him between his shoulder blades really good.
Well, I did. I didn't do it really good, but I did enough to get him to cough really where he threw up.
You know, one of the old
times. He needed to.
Oh, yeah. And one of the old techniques that's been used forever for severe asthma attacks is just take a pan of boiling, like a pot. What's the word I'm looking for? What would you cook like a soup in? Is that a pot?
A pot.
Okay. I don't know why sometimes words don't come to me, but if you were to boil a quart of water with about a cup of apple cider vinegar, and he were to inhale that, that'll start to break up all that junk. And actually, I don't know of anything besides steam that breaks up all that thick, hardened, gunky mucus that's stuck in there. Because if he can just clear that stuff out, he can actually breathe.
Exactly. And what bothered me last night was his eyes were so glazed over. They were just... And
well,
I didn't
mine
know if it was medication or struggling
would be,
to breathe.
Well, I'd be in the same situation. You let me struggle to breathe, you're going to see Roy with some glazed over eyes. The last time I checked, I like breathing. It's actually kind of fun. Isn't it amazing how you don't have to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, okay, remember, breathe. No, everything's automatic. Your autonomic nervous system takes care of all that for you. And so what we want is to try to restore balance to his body. So the breathing treatment with a little bit of vinegar water, that may be a home run. And then all you can do is just approach the parents and say, you know, I know you may not want me doing this, but I'm really concerned about your son. I called Dr. Morgan. He's supposedly the greatest asthma doctor in the universe. I'm just joking about that. And he said you should take a pan of water and bring it to a boil with a cup of vinegar. Now, doesn't that sound delicious? Wouldn't you love that aroma in the house? They may not like
it. And any vinegar? Because
no,
I'll buy them Bragg's. Any vinegar or just Bragg's? Okay.
No, any apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
You can actually go into Walmart and you can find organic apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and to be honest with you, I do not know if that works better than Bragg's or Bragg's works any better than standard organic apple cider vinegar. I usually don't get people call me and say, you know what, I think I have a 1% better improvement by taking Bragg's. I just haven't heard comments like that. So I'll just take what you can get your hands on. I'll call it good.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank Have a great weekend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, I think that's a good thing right there. A person that is so concerned about a child in Sunday school that she's willing to do whatever she can to help him. That's just beautiful. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome.
My mom, she just got diagnosed with osteoporosis, and I was wondering what can we do to help her?
Well, if I had to choose probably the top three drugs of all time that cause osteoporosis, I would probably put cortisone or prednisone at the top of the list. I'm not so sure that a close second wouldn't be thyroid medications like Synthroid, levothyroxine, stuff like that, because when women are overdosed, they just always experience massive bone loss. The other ones that cause bone loss are probably going to be acid-blocking drugs, so like Nexium, Tagum. Any of those drugs being taken?
I don't know. It's pretty healthy, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm in Texas, so it's kind of hard to know.
Okay, well, let me talk about the simple stuff then. Let me get off that topic and talk about simple things that you can do. Number one, when you're trying to make sure, so like if your mother, did you say this is your mother?
Yes, it's my mom.
Okay, let's just say, for example, she loves to eat kale and Brussels sprouts. I saw a picture, don't say no.
I wish.
I'm joking, but I saw a picture in a magazine last night in Tyler. It showed Brussels sprouts with a little bit of bacon crumbled up, baked, and I thought to myself, how come I'm not eating that right now? I think I like that better. And not everybody likes Brussels sprouts, but all I was trying to say is between broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kale, and cabbage, they all have fabulous amounts of calcium. And so if we want to call that a vegetable base of calcium, it's pretty accurate. But what you want is you want to be able to absorb that and assimilate it. And when you do, it's the role of vitamin D3. Sometimes it's called the sunshine vitamin. So when you're out in the sunlight, the radiant energy of the sun permeates the skin. It takes the cholesterol to your kidneys. And then in turn, your kidneys are able to convert that form of vitamin D into the active form called cholecalciferol or vitamin D3. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's the role of vitamin D3 to make sure that you can concentrate calcium in the body. So when it comes to osteoporosis, that's just one of the topics you need to cover. What if she's lacking vitamin D3? Well, she's going to be... So when you measure a woman's D3 levels, the number on a lab test is 34. So if they do a lab test, say, you know what, we're just going to check your D3 levels, Mrs. Jones, and it comes back at 34, well, what I'm trying to tell you, 34 and below, there's nothing that your mother can do to prevent bone loss if it's that level. I'm just trying to suggest there's a certain threshold. And so is 35 a fabulous improvement? No. Now, if you doubled the 34 and you got to 68, now that's fabulous. Because as that vitamin D3 level goes up, you're going to see greater efficiency from your genetic code at trying to grow new bone. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Number two. Actually, I wish I'd moved this to the top of the list, but I didn't. So we know it's the role of vitamin D3 to concentrate calcium into the bloodstream. But what's responsible for taking calcium from the bloodstream and getting it into the bones where your bones can be hard and strong? That's vitamin K2. Have you ever heard of vitamin K2?
Yes, and she is taking that. So she's not taking she thinks that she only needs to take half of one of those.
Well, and it may be that's all she needs. I'm not going to argue with that because I've seen that in people before, but K2 is one of the most valuable elements of all time. Because that's the nutrient or the element that God has designed for us that's responsible for transporting calcium from the bloodstream and getting it into the teeth and the jawbone and the neck bone and the breastbone and the ribs and the spine and the legs. You got to get it into that, and K2 is responsible for that. So that's one of the reasons why some people, when they consume cod liver oil every day, they just do better than others because you've got to have fat to be able to assimilate and absorb minerals. So it's easy for me to talk about eating fat. So if I'm at a let's say we're having a get together on a Monday with a bunch of friends to help send somebody off to a different church that's going to move and take a different preaching job, and a person there is saying, I only eat fat free food and these hot dogs I'm cooking are 100% fat free, I'm thinking to myself, and of course I said to him, are you sure you want to eat fat free? Because without fat, you can't absorb calcium. It's just literally impossible. This whole fat-free craze is just nuts. Can I be sarcastic for a second?
Yes.
If you want to have brittle, weak bones that break when you get older, why don't you just eat fat-free? Okay, enough of that. That didn't do any good, but you got to have fat. So you're not going to have me to tell you to avoid avocados or olive oil. If you tolerate coconut oil, well, perfect. If you like butter on your sweet potatoes, perfect. If you put broccoli, excuse me, the University of Pennsylvania, I think it's, I'm just going to have to say, is that called Pitt? You know, Pittsburgh? Anyway, to make a long story short, when they just put one pat of butter on broccoli, they noticed that people absorbed 15% more minerals than if they didn't. Now, I don't care what anybody else thinks about that. That is huge. So if there is a Brussels sprout on my plate, I'd just assume there be either olive oil or butter on top of it. If you want to boil or steam or cook broccoli or kale, you better put some butter on it. What do people do when they cook collard greens? Don't they add, hog jaw to it?
I don't know. We don't usually eat that. No.
Well, you sounded like you were from the South. I just assumed you ate turnip greens every day.
No.
I'm joking about that. But you've got to have fat to absorb your minerals. So I covered vitamin D3. I covered vitamin K2. Now, this is my interpretation, but I think that I'm right about this. If you say to me, Dr. Morgan, you haven't even covered the topic of taking calcium, well, you're right, I haven't. Because I'm telling you right now to your face, well, to your ears, magnesium is so much more important than calcium if you want your bones to be strong and hard. That's one of the reasons why I hate soft drinks, because when you drink soft drinks, you start leaching the magnesium from your body.
Yeah, she doesn't do that. Drink soft drinks anymore. So that's in years. I'll tell her that.
Do you think she would eat salmon with bones in it if I told her to?
Yeah.
How about sardines?
I don't know, but we'll try.
How about ribeye steaks? Would she eat those?
If they have the money for it, yeah.
No, I understand. I mean, you just do what you can do, but you've got to have fat to make this work. And maybe that picture, actually, I'm looking at Brussels sprouts in a journal right now, and there's kale on the other page, and I think there's cinnamon, a picture of cinnamon. Anyway, I'm wasting your time here. One of the reasons why people add fat, and maybe that picture I saw, people had bacon crumbled up, is they were trying to add fat to it. You always increase your nutrient absorption with fat.
Yeah.
So those are some ideas. Now, the other thing that has to be covered, you've got to do weight-bearing exercises to strengthen your bones. That's the only way they're going to grow. I can tell you, if a woman wants her bones to become extremely brittle and weak and break, then probably drugs like Fosamax would work. Lots of blood thinners would do the job also. Overdosing on thyroid medications. And see, when you take those acid-blocking drugs, you pretty much start the process of shutting down and growing new bone. It just makes it very hard. But yeah. If you can get a woman to become radiant and more healthy and trying to strengthen her body, that's where you start to win.
Okay. I have a question. Both my mom and dad eat a lot of chicken, but I know that it's not going to be the kind with bone in. So.
No, I'm okay with that. If they buy chicken quarters that has a skin on it, the darker meat, and they bake it in the oven with butter and onions and everything else, they could eat the crispy chicken skin. That's getting more fat. That's good.
Okay.
And that's actually the cheapest part of the chicken. If you compare the price of buying a boneless, skinless chicken breast in the store versus the chicken quarters, well, you'll buy four times as much of the other one.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they like to eat the breast, you know, breast meat.
But there's no fat in it, though.
I know. That's what I learned from you. So, that's why we've been eating a lot of dark meat now. But I'll color that. Avoid breast. Or if they're going to do that, they need to eat the other also with it.
It's probably going to take close to an hour of weight-bearing exercise a day to reverse this.
Okay.
The one ticket she's got is becoming physically stronger.
Yes.
So some people, they'll actually go to, now I never have been, but some people go to a trainer, or they just click online on YouTube and they just look at trainer videos and the trainer says, let me see if you can squat to the ground. If you can't, that means something. Let's see how long you can stand on one foot. That's pretty important also. So if your mother can stand on her right foot with her eyes closed for 30 seconds, I'm going to be impressed without losing her balance and touching her other foot to the ground or touching the wall or something. But if she can't, I'm going to be very concerned because that's an indication she has poor blood flow and poor brain function. And your mother is a lovely human being, and I want to help her so she can try balancing exercises. But I don't even know how many women I've seen their bodies completely transformed with things like yoga and Pilates and core training. Anything that puts stress, you've got to put stress on the body to make it stronger.
Okay.
Just tell your mother I said that what doesn't kill her makes her stronger. No, scratch that. That's not going to go. Okay, I hope that helps.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you. And let me know what happens with your mother.
I will. Bye.
Everybody's rooting for her.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. And you're welcome. This program is Health Essentials, and the phone number here at the station, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Roy Morgan. This is Jules.
Hey, Jules. How are you, man?
Good. Long time no see. Okay. I had for breakfast a little while ago, a heated up flour tortilla, two slices of cheddar cheese, one small pat of butter, and one egg with some bacon bits on it, and some lemon tea. Okay, what's good and what's bad?
All that's great. If your blood sugar stays between 70 and 80, you've got no complaints from me. If your triglycerides are between 40 and 60, I won't have anything to talk about. If your hemoglobin A1C is between 4.5 and 4.9, there's nothing to talk about.
Well, how would I know all those numbers, you silly goose?
Well, do you keep tabs on yourself at all? Do you know yourself?
I think I do.
Okay, well, tell me, do you have any issues or weaknesses at all?
No, I started working on, not having the pot belly, the 63-year-old pot belly.
Do you take any drugs or medications?
Zero.
Okay, excellent. That sounds great.
Yeah, I've lost.
No, none of those things are.
Pounds.
Yeah, excellent. See, you've got to do a lot of things right, and for all I know, everything that you just told me can be just perfectly fine. If what I was going to get to is, occasionally I will see a person that has blood sugar issues, and if they eat a flour tortilla to start their day with, it just causes a surge in insulin for the rest of the day, and they just never recover. And I find the same is true. Like if somebody has blood type O or blood type A. Sometimes if they have any corn in the morning, it could even be a corn tortilla, that's enough to evoke some type of allergic reaction within the body. I know this is all bizarre stuff, but I see it over and over again. So the other day, we didn't have any food at the house, and my wife said, I'll cook supper. She just cooked. She just cut up a bell pepper and sauteed it in the skillet with butter and two fried eggs over easy. I am not going to complain because I thought that was excellent.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye. And actually, I really need more information, because if all we're going to do is just evaluate food, is there anything wrong with that? Well, it's just a relative conversation. And so the thing that probably helps me more than anything else is if you know how you want to be improved upon, because then I actually have your goals to work with. But if a person calls and says, do you think corn is bad? Well, arbitrarily, no. But in some people, it can cause an allergic reaction. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Oh, good, good. Thank you, sir. How about you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Listen, I've had, all my life, I've had trouble with bronchial trouble, you know, in the wintertime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only time I didn't have it was when I was in the Navy. And that Navy doctor told me it's because I'm around water all the time.
Well, I was going to say the salt air.
Uh-huh. Yes, okay. Sir.
Yeah.
Is there anything I could do? You know, I wind up with a bad cough, seems like every winter.
Do you, I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, it just may come across that way, but you know what they used to do with when people had bad bronchial trouble during the wintertime? They would carry them down into the salt mines. So if that happened to be a mile underground, a lot of the old-time doctors would say, well, why don't you just go spend the day down the salt mines to fix your lungs?
And one thing, I'm not too far from Grand Saline.
Yeah, but the only problem is I don't think they're going to let you go 3 miles under the earth into the salt mines to hang out. If they could, call me, and I'll go with you, and we'll hang out together.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't have a problem with allergies. I don't have a problem with, you know, that. All that pollen and stuff, I could rake it off the car and make a sandwich out of it. But, I mean, it seems like every year I've always had trouble with that bronchial trouble, and I'm thinking, man, what could I do? You know, we use a vaporizer, you know.
Well, does that help?
You know, it seems like it does, but it just...
Well, let me give you a couple ideas, and this is just a guess on my part. What I was getting to earlier... Sometimes during the wintertime, people just need to buy a salt lamp for $15. It looks like a big chunk of kind of pinkish, orange-hewn salt that comes from the Himalayan mountains. Those are just the pretty ones to look at. And that's what I have right beside my bed. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's just a 5-watt light bulb in it. So when you turn it on, what they do is they emit salt ions. And
yes,
you just breathe them in. So that's one cheap treatment you can get right there.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It's been a problem for me all my life. So,
well, if I told you how many times I've seen someone with continual lung problems react to dairy products, if I had a nickel every time, I'd probably have a wheelbarrow full of nickels right now. So sometimes dairy products tend to be very thick mucus forming foods for the lungs.
And so I eat dairy products now. And you know, I mean, I use my weights 6 times a week.
Wow, you are
I'm 61, and I've always used weights almost 6 times a week.
Is your name T-Boone Pickens? Because I think he does the same thing.
We're just country people. We eat a lot of greens and cabbage
and that's just great stuff.
Like it, but I'm thinking, man, there's got to be something I could do. But, you know, I might try that.
Well, there's two or three things that I would probably look at. Number one, we know the bronchioles require vitamin A and vitamin zinc to maintain the integrity of their tissues. So you might try for just a short period of time taking a little bit of extra zinc, a little bit of cod liver oil, and you might even try taking some beta carotene in a capsule form to see if it helps strengthen your lungs.
I used to take it, cod liver oil, all the time, and I don't know why I got away from it, but I just did.
Well, does it come to your mind that you did better when you took the cod liver oil?
It did. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I believe we'll go back to taking it.
Yeah, well, that's your vitamin A right there.
And it tastes good on top of that. You always want to take that cod liver oil and then brush your teeth.
You weren't being sarcastic about the taste, but you know, there's two or three different herbs, though, that I've found consistent benefit from. One is called fenugreek.
Fenugreek.
Yeah, and the other one I would call nettle. Just like when you walk out in the pasture, you see that little bitty green plant with the pods on. That's a bull nettle. Don't kick it. Don't touch it.
Well, you know, a bull nettle, you know, when me and my brothers were little growing up, we'd take those bull nettle kernels.
Yeah, eat the nuts.
You can pop them open, and they're really good.
You
got to use bare pliers, though. Don't be reach down there and try to grab them.
Well, I was just fixing to ask. Did you just do this with your bare hands?
No, you have to use bare pliers now, or either make your brother open it up.
Yeah, well, that's the easy way. Just get your brother or your nephew to do it, because they'll do anything you say, right? The other herb that I think of consistently is called Chinese skullcap.
Right.
You might tell me that your bronchioles really, really like that, and they start to turn around and become stronger and healthier. We just have to find, and I realize you don't think you have an allergy of any kind. It just may be a very low-grade irritant that's keeping your immune system taxed and burdened. And if we could figure out what that is, we could lift that from you, and you could be free of it. So... try those things.
I'm gonna try that though.
Yeah.
Please.
You got nothing else?
Because it's just 5 months. 5 months there, I really have a problem. You know, and after, you know, when spring gets here, I'm good to go.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's a nice. You know, when I was a baby, when I was little, you know, I coughed so bad that it busted the blood vessels in my eyes.
Well, I bet you anything.
And it bleeding, blood running down my eyes.
I bet you anything, just from what you've told me, that springtime represents that you have more fresh vegetables that have higher amounts of fresh vitamin A, because when you can and put something up, a lot of the vitamin A goes by the wayside during the canning or the jarring process.
See, that's what I do. I drive a truck for a living, and I'm always hauling fresh, local Jacksonville tomatoes, avocados, and that's what I live on in the summertime.
Well, there you have it right there.
Watermelon.
Yeah, all that's got more, it's got more carotenoids in it and all that good stuff. That's excellent. I bet you that's part of the equation right there.
Yeah, that's
you just
right.
might need a little bit more vitamin A than the average person does.
You know, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try vitamin A, and I'm going to try what you said earlier.
Okay.
And Doc, I sure do appreciate
your time. You're
I
welcome.
Enjoy your show every Saturday morning.
Thanks a bunch, and you have a good day, sir, and take care.
Yes, sir. You too.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Okay, if you'd like to join me on the air, there's plenty of time. I'm looking at the clock. 6 hours left. I meant 6 minutes left. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How can I help?
Have you ever heard of Prepagen?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that really work?
Can you turn your radio down, please?
Yes.
Or turn the radio off?
I was in another room.
Sorry. Oh. I don't think anybody else can hear what I do, but
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Turn the radio off. Sounds like somebody's screaming in my ear.
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, do you know anybody that's taking Prevagen that says, you know what, once I started taking that, my memory started coming back, I started having greater mental sharpness?
Well, I heard that they were doing better, like holding their own.
Do you mind if I break it down a little bit differently for you?
Okay.
This week, I read just a brief study that they think that people that have Alzheimer's and dementia, and I realize I'm just hypothetically making an extreme example here, that they really do retain all their memories from their childhood and their young adulthood, and they're there in the brain. They just can't access them. And so what they're trying to do right now, a drug company is trying to design a drug that's going to enable them to go back and restore their memory where they can access it and they can, go back and pull up memories. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So There is a neurotransmitter produced within the human body called acetylcholine. And acetylcholine is extremely important in being able to recall information. So, I don't know what you had in mind behind the Prevagen, but would you like to be able to recall information more precisely and clearly?
Yes.
And so, the acetylcholine, guess what it's made of? It's made of a B vitamin-like compound called choline. C-H-O-L-I-N-E. Choline. And so sometimes, and this is just another semi-hypothetical, no, this is real. I started to say it's hypothetical, it's not. If a person tells me it takes them for, no, I shouldn't say it that way, I'm going to start over. If a person tells me they feel like that their brain is a bit foggy, or they have cobwebs, or recalling information is not as easy as it used to be, and so if I say, okay, what is your recall? If you're trying to remember information, 10 is perfect, 0 is the pits. They go, oh, I'm a 10. Well, I don't worry about that. But if they say, you know what, I think it's about a 5 right now, and I ask them, do you think it could be better? And they go, oh, yes, even just a couple of years ago, I noticed it was much better. There's been like a drop-off the last couple of years. And when I wake up in the morning, it's almost like it takes my brain an hour before, you know, all the juices are flowing and it's working right. Then I think choline. And that's a simple experiment that you can try. You can try the Prevagen easily, but you can also just get some choline from the health food store and tell me if you legitimately think that your mind is sharper. And what you're doing is you're trying to assist your body in making better, higher quality neurotransmitters like acetylcholine just by taking choline.
Okay.
The other thing is if somebody tells me they have a very, very hard time learning new information, this might be the example of ADD or ADHD, just learning disabilities. You know, have you ever sat down with somebody and tried to teach them something and you just can't get the information from them no matter what?
Yeah.
Well, that would be noradrenaline. That's a different neurotransmitter. And so if you can kind of figure out where this is coming from, then you can start going, okay, well, what do I do? For example, if somebody tells me that their mind races at night when they lay down to go to sleep and they have a hard time staying asleep, and if they wake up at 2 in the morning, their mind is racing, that would be a deficiency of the neurotransmitter called GABA. GABA is just an acronym for gamma-aminobutyric acid. But it's the body's primary neurotransmitter. And these neurotransmitters like acetylcholine and noradrenaline and epinephrine and the GABA and serotonin, they play a huge role in regulating the nervous system in the body. They kind of drive all the chemical reactions. So, if we could find a way to fix these, but almost all these are made within the gut. So usually, I'm trying to improve the digestive tract, but it's better to get to it sooner than later.
I have ulcers.
What'd you say?
I have ulcers. Well,
that's what we need to do, is we need to find a way to heal those ulcers quickly so you can actually start making all the neurotransmitters you need. But unfortunately, we're completely out of time, and I apologize about that. But if you'll call me next week, we'll just pick it up where we left off.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.